Amen, sis. Yeah, another time I'll play it again. It's really is a song that was on the chat earlier on today. Empty and broken, I came to him. You know, it's a real powerful song. Over and over, he mold me and make me into his likeness. He fashioned the clay. A vessel of honor I am today. All because Jesus, hallelujah, he didn't throw the clay away. He is the potter, I am the clay, molded in his image. He wants me to stay. But when I stumble and when I fall and my vessel is broke, he just picked up all the pieces and he never threw the clay away. I thank God that he did not throw the clay away this evening. Because had he throwed away the clay, I one such as me wouldn't be here witnessing today. Amen. So I thank God in his wisdom that he found me and rescued me. You know, and it caused me to always be humble before God, to know that I could be otherwise minded, but all because he did not throw the clay away, I am here today. You know, so I don't take it lightly when I get an opportunity like this to share God's word. As a matter of fact, I don't take it lightly when I get an opportunity to breathe fresh air, or to know that my faculties are working, my limbs are right, I can see, I can talk, I can hear. You know, I don't take it lightly to be alive. You know, many people would act as if they take life for granted. You know, as if it's just a merry-go-round. It's just a free-for-all, and you are able to do anything that you want to do. You know, but my Bible tells me to remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. You know, these are the days that we should truly find favor in our creator's hand. You know, we should truly find favor in his hand, so he can keep us and he can mold us even and still. Amen. Can you imagine you making some cupcakes, and you for presentation somewhere, you want to present those cupcakes before an audience or some spectators, and when you look at some of the cakes, you realize that it didn't come out properly, and you say, okay, you're going to trash this one, you're going to throw this one in the garbage, this one don't look good for presentation. Don't make our master be like that. When he look down on us, let him see his perfection in us, so that he don't just cast us out into utter darkness. You know, let us be his image and in his likeness, do what he says we must do, so we are not tasked into utter darkness. Amen. I want to bless God for you all this evening. Indeed, this is a day that the Lord has made, and is a day that is good for rejoicing in it and to give God thanks. It is truly amazing how God can fashion and formed us in his likeness. And today we're going to still be looking at the book of Judges. Last week we finished up with Samson. Yes, Sister Camille completed Samson last week, and for those of you who were here, it was a truly blessed time in the presence of the Lord, truly blessed time listening to the woman of God sharing with power and with clarity the undiluted word of God. And we bless God for her. We bless God for her ministry. We bless God for the call of God upon our life. Because truly, it is a testimony, is a testament of what God can do with an yielded vessel. Amen. And today, we're going to be looking at Jephthah. I think Abimelech came before him, but Abimelech, I think we'll save him for another time, as the Lord would permit. But we're going to skip over to Jephthah, Judges chapter 11. I know most of you would have read it over the past week or even today. I sent out the notification again today that we'll be looking at Jephthah. You know, and I trust that you had a chance to look at it. You know, it's not like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we know what it means to love. We know what it means to give. We know what a son is, his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him. It's not straightforward understand like that without, you know, Judges chapter 11, take a bit more in-depth cross-referencing to other scriptures. Because you and I know that scriptures interpret scriptures. You know, sometimes in order to get a deeper understanding of some scriptures, you have to cross-reference it over to some other scriptures, and you got to see what was happening in that day and age that it was written in, and also take in context to whom it was written to. Take in context what was happening in that era, and all of that in order to get the proper, clear understanding of it. But all scriptures is God's breath, is spirit. The word of God is spirit, is God's breath. And in order for us to understand it, we have to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we have to truly depend on the Holy Spirit that will remind us of all things that the Lord has said. You know, he's the one that reminds us. He's the one that sees us through whatever we are going through. Amen. And so we're going to depend on the Holy Spirit this evening, because truly, without him, we can do nothing. Amen. All right. With that said, I want to welcome you all again. I want to welcome you all. I hope that my voice is clear enough so you all can hear clearly. Amen. Maybe this evening we have to rush through a few stuff, because the study that we're going to go into is going to take much. It's going to take much debate. You know, it's going to take a conversation. You know, it's going to take a flow. So I'm going to open up the floor in a bit for you all to voice your opinion and the chapter at hand. You know, so come with your questions. Hopefully there will be someone here online that is able to answer it the way you would want it to be answered. And I pray God that he will use us, each and every one of us, to dissect his word and to bring glory and honor to his name. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for this another time that we can come into your presence and to receive from you. We pray, mighty God, that our heart will be at that place that we can hear from you. Mighty God, you know our needs, and you promise to supply all of them. And so even now, mighty God, I pray that you will saturate our hearts, cause us to take our mind off all worries and everything that would cause our spirits to be sagged, or anything, mighty God, that would cause us to have any thoughts outside this Bible study even now. Lord, I pray that you will work in and around us. I pray, mighty God, that our heart will be fertile, so that as your word would rest upon it, that, mighty God, it will remain and it will grow forth and produce fruits. We pray, mighty God, for your indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, it will be accepted in your sight. You are my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Thank you, Lord God, and I praise you. I pray against every technical difficulties in the name of Jesus. I pray, mighty God, that as your people would log on even now, I pray, God, that it will be no complications, but they will come on right on in with a praise and with glory unto your name. Lord, have your own way now. We pray, mighty God, for our readers tonight. We pray, God, that you will give them holy boldness. We pray, mighty God, that they will read with clarity in the name of Jesus. We pray for strength. We pray for a blessing to be released upon them in their obedience, mighty God, to be a part, hallelujah, of this presentation even now. We pray, mighty God, for the one that will close for us in prayer. We pray, mighty God, your anointing will rest upon such a one. And you, Lord God, will be seen and be glorified. In Christ's name I pray, and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. All right, so we're looking at Jephthah, Judges chapter 11. And Sister O'Connor, are you ready to read for us? We have you here as the first and second reader. Judges chapter 11, verse 1 to 7.
Blessed good evening, all.
Bless the Lord, sister.
Our first lesson is taken from Judges 11, verses 1 through 7. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a highly man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begot Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went up to fetch Jephthah out in the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. Final verse 7. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? Here endeth the first reading. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, my sister. Bless the Lord. Judges chapter 11. It speaks of Jephthah, you know, a judge in Israel. You know, he was chosen by God. Amen. Jephthah was chosen by God to lead Israel into battle against the people of the Ammons, the Amorites.
Right.
Amen. So Jephthah, a man from Gilead.
Nice.
It is said that Gilead is referred in two snares here. It's referred to Gilead as the father of Jethro, and it's also referred to as a place in which they dwell at that time. You know, so you'd hear the word Gilead used simultaneously as the father of Jephthah and also as the place. So you'd hear the Bible say men from Gilead, and you'd hear the Bible say the father of Jephthah is Gilead. Jephthah. You know, so yes. So he was a mighty man of valor. That stood out. First and foremost, the scripture referred to him as a mighty man of valor. Then he said he was kicked out by his half brothers because he was the son of a prostitute, a harlot. You know, so he was kicked out. A mighty man of valor. So I want you to follow me here. He was a mighty man of valor. And when you're a mighty man of valor in the Bible, it doesn't mean that you are a victor of one or two. It means that you're a victor of thousands. So I want you to follow me here. That Jethro, he was kicked out by his half brothers. This now that we're talking about, his brothers, they weren't mentioned in the Bible as mighty men of valor.
No.
They weren't mentioned in the Bible as warriors. They were just mentioned as the half brothers of Jephthah. Ooh, Jephthah, he's a mighty man of valor. And he was kicked out by those brothers. There weren't thousands of them, nor 10,000s of them. It was maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of them or whatever. But the fact that I want you to see what is happening here. Jephthah is demonstrating a character of Christ. Though he had the power, he did not abuse his power because he could have torn his brothers in pieces there and then when they tried to kick him out of the house. But he left peacefully and he went and dwell somewhere else.
Tob, land of Tob.
Yes, he went to dwell in the land of Tob peacefully. He didn't war against them, he didn't fight against them, but he had the power that he could tear them up because he's a mighty man of valor.
Oh yes,
he could tear them up and he could destroy those that would fight against in his inheritance. You know, just like our Lord Jesus Christ, he made us, he walked, he come and dwell among us, and we treat him like trash, disregard him and crucify him. He could have called 10,000 angels to take him down. He himself could have taken down himself from that cross. Many times we see where he went through the crowd without the crowd even see where he went. He could have protected himself from, you know, but he humbled himself
even to
the death of the cross. Just like what we are seeing here with Jethro. He humbled himself and he leave and he went out. In Jamaica, we'd refer to a man as such as Jethro as a bastard.
Yes.
We'd call him a bastard. Bastard is used to identify illegitimate child. Illegitimate child, we'd call him a bastard, one that is born out of wedlock. And it's like a derogative word. We don't bastard, you know.
Yes.
People use it as being offensive. A bastard, they say, oh, you're a bastard, or whatever, illegitimate child. But how many of you know that these children who are called bastard are sometimes, they turn out even better than the legitimate ones. They show more love and they show more care, even to their very parents. They show more care and more love.
Amen.
They are even more appreciative of the things that are given to them than even the legitimate ones. And you know that, how many of you know that sometimes the bastard becomes the boss?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Sometimes the bastard becomes the boss. And we're going to see it as we look at, as we study Jephthah. Other mighty men of valor, as were recorded in the Bible, would include Abijah, that is in 2 Chronicles 13, verse 3. Abijah, he was in Jeroboam days, and King Jeroboam, Abijah was one of the mighty men of valor then.
Yes.
And another mighty man of valor that the Bible make mention of was Naaman in 2 Kings 5 and verse 1. Naaman. But Naaman was a mighty man of valor, but he had a butt.
Yes.
You know, just like Jephthah. Jephthah had a butt. He was the son of a prostitute.
We have another Benai.
Yes. Yes. And Naaman had a butt. But he was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. Gideon. What? Gideon mentioned, we saw him a couple of weeks ago. Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verse 12. Gideon was a mighty man of valor, but he said his family is the poorest in Manasseh, and he's the least among his father's house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. Yes. So we see mighty men of valor, and some of them would have a but God can use your butt.
Yes.
God can use your butt this evening and turn it around into something.
Yes.
You know, Naaman, but he was a leper. He saw the mighty move of God upon his life, and he now could see God as his healer.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, he now could see the mighty hand of God upon him. And he could now humble himself and realize that there is a God in Israel. You know,
another point, Brother Everton, is that God can use his people for his honor.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
And amen. Just to add to Auntie Marilyn, Brother Everton, he can use, in man's eyes, we see limitations.
Yes.
But God can use those limitations for his glory.
Definitely. Amen. Amen. And it's good when our eyes can so open that we can see our limitations, so that we can know that all our dependency should be upon God, that all our dependency in ourselves, we have so much limitation that we cannot operate outside the dictates or outside the spirits of our God. We need him because we have limitation in ourselves. We need him because we need his direction. We cannot even walk without he holding our hands. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's good when we are not puffed up or high-minded or so high up that we think we're adequate by ourselves. When we can identify that we are weak and feeble and we need the hand of God and we need him to see us through, to deliver us, you know, that's where the blessing comes. And we realize and it's a sign of humility as well. When Isaiah can see in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, I saw in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on his chain. Fill the temple.
Was
unworthy.
Seems
you know,
fill the temple.
Yes, and he said, who will go for us? No, and the word would come and say, and Isaiah would say, I am, woe is me. I am undone.
People of unclean lips.
I'm among some people of unclean lips. I'm among some liars and some deceivers and some robbers and some thieves, some people that live around me. And he realized that he was so corrupt.
Unworthy.
You know, and when the angel would take the life cold from off the earth, touch his lips and cleanse him, you know, then he would respond to the call and say, send me.
Here am I.
Send me. You know, because he realized that initially he realized that he's undone. Just like you and I, initially when we came to Christ, we realized that we need a savior. We realized that we couldn't save ourselves and we need to present ourselves to him. You know, because we are undone, we need cleansing. Amen. So as we move forward, Jephthah moved to the land of Tob, where he was appreciated, per se. And he wasn't appreciated in his father's house, among his brothers, but he moved to somewhere where he was appreciated. And he made friends with worthless fellows. Yes.
Andrea's gangster.
He made friends with gangsters. You know, men of no account. He went and made friends with men of no account.
Yes.
His new forced into surrounding did not abort the call of God. That God had on his life. He was still a mighty man of valor. A work in progress to be used mightily by Almighty God. You know, so when the Amorites made war with Israel, we saw that in chapter 10, 17 and 18, the kings, now these children of Amorites, of Ammon, were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpeh. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, "What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be the head over all inhabitants of Gilead. The man that will fight against the children of Ammon will be the head." That's what they say. No, that's what the Gileadites said in their plans and their schemes and whatever. But watch this now. The princes of Gilead agreed on a very attractive package to reward the person who would fight against the children of Ammon. Mm-hmm. The children of Ammon were the enemy. Follow me.
Yes.
When they realized that Jethro, when they realized that Jethro's resume was the only qualified
person,
they offered him position without full benefit.
All right.
They offered him the position to fight against the Amorites without offering him the full package of the benefit that they had discussed previously. Part of the package that comes with that job was to make him head over them. They didn't want to mention that part when Jethro's resume came up front and they realized that if they want victory, it have to be through Jethro, the mighty man of valor.
Amen, amen.
Now watch this. Watch what we see here. The stone that the builder refused is now the one that was rejected and despised. Suddenly now realize they can't win without him. They now realize that they can't win without the one who was rejected and despised, just like him. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. We see a similarity in the way in the way some of us would treat God. Hey. Some would want God to deliver them from oppression and depression, sickness, disease, joblessness, loneliness, and the list goes on. But when they are delivered, they refuse to make Jesus Lord of their lives.
But Jesus did say that the stone which the builder refused has become the head cornerstone.
Hallelujah. They refuse to make him head of their life, the head cornerstone. You know, we want the hand of God and the blessing that he gives, but we refuse to make him Lord of our lives. It speaks so much of us today. When things are well, we show scant regard to the chief bishop of our souls, our Lord Jesus Christ. When things are well, you don't bother to attend church. You don't bother to pray. Mm-hmm. You don't bother to read the Bible. But when trouble comes, all road lead to the cross of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. When trouble comes, you realize that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And it goes to show me why so many of us are in so much problem at all times.
Oh, God.
It goes to show me why so much of us are in trouble, because the trouble helped to keep us humble. and it helped to keep us on our knees before we get too complacent. Yeah, lest I forget, get send me, lead me back to Calvary.
Amen, 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 amen.
Lest I forget what where the Lord has brought me, from and where he has taken me. Mm-hmm. You know, what I could have been, what I have escaped, having the Lord on my side. He keep us, he keep the trouble, he keep the war after war. As soon as they get over one problem, there's another one. To keep us on our knees, despite not the chasing of our Lord, because it will bring out in us a glorious time.
The testing must come. The testing must come.
Yeah, if we are without chastisement, we are a bastard. The Bible says, if you are without chastisement, you are a bastard. Because which child is he that the father chasteneth not? So when it is there, whatever problem or whatever trouble you and I go through, is there for a purpose.
Amen.
True.
Yeah, it's there for a purpose. We are in trouble. Yeah. Pray. When trouble come, pray. You know, keep us on our knees. When you get too complacent, you don't even bother to pray. Mm-hmm. Not even the Abba Father prayer. You wake up and you just do things normal. Go to work, get your money, go to your supermarket, pay your car note, do whatever you want to do.
Everything going well.
But when trouble come, that's the time when your knee gets sore. Yeah, it's time when your knee gets sore and you start sacrifice your sleep because you need to pray. Because you can't you can't face another day without him. You start to get up in the night and you start to pray, you start to intercede because trouble in your life right now and you can't make it through. You can't even face tomorrow without you getting that clearance in the spirit. Yeah. You must have Jesus with you because you dare not walk alone. You must feel his hands. Yes, you must feel his spirit around you. And you get vigilant. Mm-hmm. You start to get watchful because you know you can't manage this battle by yourself.
God have to fight it for you.
Yeah.
And so we don't realize and we save ourselves so much stress if we pray to keep the trouble away rather than waiting until we get attacked to pray. We're supposed to pray. Prayer should be a part of anyone who decides to walk with Christ.
Amen.
It has to be constant in our life.
Yes.
You know, when people say, try Jesus, I don't like that. You're not supposed to try him. You're supposed to be submitted to him at all. Exactly. Relationship over religion. When you have a relationship with God, it becomes a daily part of your routine. Yes. If you go a day without it, it feels unusual. You're supposed to be uncomfortable in your skin.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Amen. 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 Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. So we should, when the time is all right and is favorable, those are the times we should make our earnest requests be made known unto God. Those are the times Sister O'Connor is saying that we should store up our prayers in glory, pray just to see him so that when you only can give a groan. You know, when you only can give a groan because of the situation that you're facing, your prayers were in the prayer bank and it's not released, it's not being deposited in your life and strengthening your faith and stuff. Your prayers are now be released into your life.
Yes.
Amen. So pray in the good time, pray in the bad time, pray, live a constant
pray without ceasing.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Pray.
Amen. Hallelujah. So Jephthah, amen. Jephthah, he was privy to the initial proposal that was that the winner would be the head. Jephthah, though he was in top, he was in a different land. He was privy to that information. And he did not have a spy that was carrying message to him according to the scripture. We realize that when you are in line with God, there's no secret that God wouldn't unveil your dull understanding to. God would have spoke to Jethro and say, ask them about the aid situation. Ask them about making it the aid situation. You know? Yes. So he questioned them about it in verse 9. And Jephthah said unto the elder of Gilead, if he bring me again home to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head?
Hallelujah.
Shall I be your head? Yeah, because that they did not propose that to Jephthah, right now. When they had their private talk, they mentioned it that whosoever would win the war for them, they would make them the head. So they vowed before God to make Jephthah the leader of all the land of Gilead if he fight the Amorites. Jephthah accepted the offer and returned to help Israel.
Yeah, man.
Jephthah, he could have said no, you know. He could have said to them, no, I am the son of a prostitute. Just for that reason, they kick him out of the house because he was the son of an harlot, a bastard. He could say, I am a bastard. The one who was cast out of my father's house when I was in need. The one, when I was at the lowest point of my life, I was cast out of my father's house. I was put out to live among strangers.
I was disowned.
Yes, he was disowned. Yeah. He was put out to live among strangers. Yeah. Nonetheless, he fought against all odds. He kept his head above the water. He refused to give up. He refused to throw in the towel. Gosh. And he kept pressing on because in his spirit, he's a mighty man of valor.
Amen. Amen.
And he knows that his change is coming.
Amen.
And Brother Everton, and guess what? He kept owning craft. Just my pastor always says something like this. Backstage presentation gives you onstage performance. So some of us might be overlooked for promotions or whatever it is, but keep on honing your craft because you never know.
Yes. It's not Jephthah at work. It's God at work. Because if you go back to chapter 10, it's God at work.
Amen.
Yes, it was, Auntie Merle, I agree. But I'm saying he still was doing, he's a man of valor, but he was still honing his craft.
No, listen, I did not discount what you said a while ago. I'm only saying, to strengthen what you said, it was God working in Jephthah.
Yes, hallelujah, indeed.
The stage was already set.
The stage was set.
All the answer was already favorable in Jephthah's favor, you know. And if you look in Deuteronomy, I'm sorry that I did not put that scripture forward. In Deuteronomy, it have a scripture that say, you know, that if a man have two wives and he have children with the first wife and the second wife, and whoever he loved the least out of the both of both wife or whoever, you know, whoever the children, the child mother was and whatever, the inheritance of that child should be double portion in comparison to the rest that he now lives with at his home, you know.
Yeah,
the one that is a bastard. Yes, Deuteronomy said it. So the victory was already there for Jephthah. Nobody can take that win away from him.
The blessings was there.
Stage was set.
Yeah, the blessing was already there for Jephthah. And stuff. Jephthah. Yeah. No, we're talking about the judge, Jephthah. The blessing was already there for him. So no matter what, it could not be aborted because God was in his favor. All right. God, look, we're going to read this portion now. We're going to see Sister O'Connor, can you read the second scripture for us, please? Judges chapter 11, verse 12 to 17.
Verse 12. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Ammon, even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan, Now, therefore, restore those lands again
peaceably.
And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon, and said unto him, Thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. Here in verse 17.
Thank you, sister. You're yes, though we only read from 12 to 17, we're going to make comment from 12 all the way down to 28. Right? So follow me here now. We're going to move through this part very quickly. Follow me here. If you heard the history that Jephthah would come up with of Israel, that what Jethro knew was only written in the Bible.
Yes.
So though he was cast out and he was in the land of Tob, he was reading his Bible. He was getting familiar with the word of God.
Yes, he knew it.
He knew the history.
Yeah, he knew the history. And the history would only be recorded in the Bible. He had the Torah. The Torah. Yes. First five books of the Bible.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he had the Torah. The Pentateuch. As some would call it. The Pentateuch.
Yes, yes.
You know? And he would be reading it. He would be getting himself acquainted with it. So when he was called upon to perform his God-given responsibility, he knows his limit. He knows his boundaries. He knows his possession. He knows what the will of God say that he has.
And he justified his cause too.
You can't fool him because he knew the word of God and he knows the God of the word.
Yes.
He had a relationship with God. He knows. Yeah, so he could quickly put the children of Ammon, or the kings of Ammon per se, in their place and say, no, it's not so. This is how it go. So Jethro sent message to the king of Ammon.
What happened?
And asked them why they want to war against Gilead. Why they want to war against it?
No. There's a personal pronoun there. Why you want to fight against me, that you have come to fight against me in my land.
Amen.
Become personal.
Yeah. And that was a land that they kicked him out of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he still pledge an allegiance to that lamb. He still to that land. He still pledge an allegiance where he's willing to risk his life for that land. You know? Mm-hmm. So the king would respond, the king of Ammon would respond and say he's taking back what the land that Moses and the Israelites was stole from the descendant when they came out of Egypt. You saw far back they gone? Mm-hmm. They gone back to when they came out of Egypt. Yes. One thing for certain, you know, Jethro knew the history. He knew his rights. So Jethro, he replied by correcting the king's history. He said, Israel did not launch an unprovoked attack on Moab, nor Ammon to take their land when Moses led
them the victory.
In other words, Israel did not trouble what didn't trouble them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jethro even told them to possess what Jethro even told them. Jethro said to them, whatever Chemosh give to you, that's what you should get.
That's what,
because Chemosh was their god, you know. Yes. Chemosh was their idol that they worshiped.
Exactly.
And whatever the Lord give to,
Say whatever Chemosh give you, take what Chemosh give you, man, and go on with your business. And we will take what God give unto us. What the Lord give unto us. You know, because they are not a part of the family of God, and yet they want to possess the things of God. You know, go so. You know, go so. The Israelites did conquer the land belonging to Amorites. That's what Jethro is telling them. No. The Israelites did conquer the land that belongs to Amorites. But the Amorites did not have legitimate claim to the land.
Not Ammon.
Yeah, furthermore, Jethro argued about the king's claim on the land, that it was weak because he was disputing a land that belonged to Israel for over 300 years. He said, within that 300 years, why didn't you make mention of it? Why? Why, after 300 years now, you're going to come want to make war against the land? That was what the fight was about, the land. He wanted to make war about the land, and they had it for 300 years. Israel had that land for 300 years. And
it is happening today. It is happening today.
Yes, and they fight against that land that Israel would have occupied over 300 years. But the king of Ammon wouldn't listen to Jethro. In all of that, the king of Ammon wouldn't listen to Jethro. He wanted to make war with Israel instead. Uh-huh. And that leads us to our third and final reader, Sister Kenesha. Sister Kenesha, Judges 11, 9. Judges 11, verse 30 to 32, and then from 34 to 40.
And so Judges 11, verse 30 to 32, and then 34 all the way through to 40.
Amen.
Amen. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the door of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands.
Amen.
And Jephthah 34. And then I'm doing right, 34 to 40, sorry. And 34, yes. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. He said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. And she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, right. 4 days in a year, sorry. There ended the reading of the portion, that portion.
Amen. Bless the Lord for your sister Kenesha. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, so that's a very, we see a lot of scholars rest with that scripture to their own destruction, according to according to Peter. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of scholars rest with that scripture. You know, that portion of it right there. They would make kind of take it out wide and then take it back in and stop. And you know, they're still wrestling with it today. Jethro, this was a point where Jethro would make a vow to the Lord that if the Lord would give him victory over the Ammonites, he would sacrifice the first thing that he saw from his household when he returned from battle. Jethro met Jephthah met the Amorites on the battlefield, and God gave him victory. Yes, after the war, Jephthah approached his house, and his daughter, his only child, he had no sons, he had no other daughters, came out to meet him with music and with dancing. She was so happy to see him, but her father wasn't happy to see her first. He said, trouble me. You're part of my trouble this day. He said, you're part of my trouble.
Right.
And seeing her, Jephthah tore his clothes because of the promise that he made to God. Jephthah was distressed by the vow that he had taken. Daughter asked him for 2 months to mourn our impending fate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the 2 months, she returned to Jephthah and Jephthah fulfilled his vow.
Yes.
And the vow we read, that it was for a burnt sacrifice that he would offer the first thing that comes. The exact nature of the fulfillment of that vow is still debated today by scholars, with some suggesting a symbolic act of dedication, of dedicating her to the service of God, while others believe she was sacrificed. Uh-huh. But before we comment on that, we want to look at Deuteronomy 23:21-23.
Okay.
It says that if you make a vow to the Lord, your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. This verse emphasizes the importance of keeping one's word to God and not delay in fulfilling a vow. Also, before we comment, also Ecclesiastes 5, 4 to 5 tells us, it says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it, because he has no pleasure in fools.
Fools. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. When you make a vow unto God, don't delay to fulfill it, because he has, our God, he has no pleasure in fools. It is better not to vow than to make one and not fulfill it.
Right. Yes.
So when you vow to God, you must perform it.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So one of the two views that scholars would have about the vow that Jephthah would have made. One of them they emphasizes that the passage speaks so much about virginity and she being a virgin, and so the result of that sacrifice would have to be with her virginity. Because we realize that she went out for 2 months and she came back, and the Bible says she knew no man. She was still a virgin when she returned. So one of the view that scholars would say is that the sacrifice that Jethro would have made was to give her to the Lord as a virgin, and don't let she allow to be married to anybody. So she would remain a virgin for the rest of her life. And the reason why Jephthah now would have been offended or being mad about the vow was that he would not have any grandchildren.
Posterity.
Yeah, there would be nothing coming after that lineage.
Yes.
So he was furious about it. So that's one of the view.
Should I say that Jethro's descendants stop right there? Right there.
Yes. Yeah, it stopped.
Only chance.
And stop.
So he gave her to God as a virgin. That is the pledge. And then now she had no children for this descendants to follow after that. So just was right there. Yes, right there.
Yes. Right there. Yes, the lineage stopped right there. That's a given. A given.
The pledge. That's a fulfillment of the pledge.
Yes.
Yes.
But I don't know if you still have some things to say, but if we look at Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 to 5.
Yes.
And if you read that, it will help us to understand what this is all about.
Yes.
Yes. So what is he reading?
Read it, Mrs. Scott. Read it to me.
Leviticus 20, 1 to 5.
1 to 5.
And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, and thou shalt...
Let me find it and read it.
Penalties of breaking the law.
Yes. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whatsoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do not do any ways to hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and shall not kill him, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a warring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. I really don't see how that come in. I don't really see how that come in, Mrs. Grant.
Okay, human sacrifice. But if we look at Jeremiah 7:31.
I don't see how this part comes in. Anyhow.
Let us look at Jeremiah.
The heading said punishment, child sacrifice, but you don't really talk about what's the child sacrifice, even though the heading says punishment for child. So I think that's what Auntie Merle is alluding to. It's a punishment for a child sacrifice.
Let us look at it. We're talking about Bible study now. Yeah. Look at Jeremiah 7:31. And it's a let me see if I can read it, because my print is very small. And they go ahead.
It's only of the son of Hinnon.
My print is small.
And waters in fire, which I commended them not, neither came it into my heart. I don't see how that measure up either.
What you reading? 7:31? Jeremiah 7:31?
I don't see how that come in either.
Yeah, can you read that passage again, Sister Scott? Jeremiah 7:31, if you were the person reading.
In the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnon, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. I don't see it measure up either in this case of
human sacrifice there.
No, I don't. Could you please explain that, Mrs. Grant? Because I don't see it there.
I think it is referring to God not accepting human sacrifice.
Amen.
I see it too. Yes.
Yes.
Sacrifice to
heathen God. Jephthah did not burn his daughter. Jephthah offered her to the Lord. That she should
Brother Scott, I'm a bit confused here. Can you please explain to me the correlation of judges, because I'm new here and I just need to understand where's the correlation.
Okay, sister. What Sister Grant is saying in when we look at Leviticus, was it Leviticus or Jeremiah?
Yeah, Jeremiah.
She's looking at it that in those days they were practicing child sacrifice, but the Lord wasn't in agreement with it. Yeah, the Lord wasn't in agreement with sacrificing your children. Even in Kings, in the book of Kings, we saw where they were having a famine in Samaria, and people were eating even their young ones and stuff, sacrificing their young ones and stuff. But the Lord is not in agreement with it. And I think it's that now what Sister Grant would have said would have tied into what some of the scholars that studied the book of Judges would have said, that if Jethro make a vow to the Lord, and the Lord would give Jethro the victory, it will show that whatever vow that was made, the Lord would be pleased with it. Whatever vow he would have made, the Lord would be pleased with it, because the Lord is the one that gives victory, that give him the victory in that war, in that circumstances. What it just bring to light some of the views that would come out from the book of Judges, that the scholars would say that if it is of God, no way God would go against his word, because he don't delight himself in child sacrifice and whatever, you know. So the scholars would have said that the view that stands out the most would be that Jephthah would have given his daughter to the Lord as one that is not going to get married or to lose our virginity or whatever. He's going to stop the lineage right there, but he's sacrificing her to the Lord.
Everton, I equate this Abraham sacrificing Isaac.
That's what I was thinking. Yes.
But with Abraham,
he promised to God. But it was not done, per se,
because God did not require it.
It never required it. It stopped right there.
Yes.
He sent a ram in the ticket.
Yes.
But it was not actually
symbolic. Symbolic.
Thank you. So he did it. It was done. From the mere fact that the girl was never married, she would never have a child, the language stopped right there.
Right.
It was a vow. It was
the vow was fulfilled. The vow was made and it was fulfilled.
And it was performed.
Any other views? Any other views apart from Sister Grant and Sister Scott? Any other views from the floor?
It's hard to understand. It's very hard to understand. The Spirit of God has to be in you for you to
interpret it to you.
God give us His word. He gives us His word and scripture and principle upon principle.
Yeah, here a little.
Scripture interpret scripture.
You have to look at that. It was done. Did perform the vow. It did.
Yes, the vow was made and it was fulfilled.
Amen.
It was fulfilled. Yes. You know, but the way, the format of it fulfilled is what we are debating now. But whatever answer you hold or whatever views you may hold, it doesn't water down the fact of the main message of this passage.
He kept his vow.
Yeah, he kept his vow. And
all I'm saying, the vow was made and the vow was fulfilled.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, vow made, vow fulfilled. In whatever way it was fulfilled, it was fulfilled.
Amen.
It was accepted.
Amen.
You know, it was accepted. Because
Amen.
Yeah. If we're looking deep into the scripture.
It was a rush ball anyhow. It was a rush ball.
Yeah.
And sometimes. We do that too sometimes, Mrs. Mm-hmm. Grant. We do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. We err.
Yes.
And
yes.
I equated this to Abraham offering his son on Mount Moriah.
Yes, Isaac.
He was not killed, but the vow, but he did what was to be done.
The vow was made. The vow was fulfilled.
A picture of Jesus himself. This is a lovely lesson.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Reed.
This is what Bible study is all about. That I mean, you try look at the scriptures and see how they match up, and you know,
yes,
a conclusion is being made. He kept his vow.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit has to guide you along.
Uh-huh.
All right. Sister Candy is asking a question in the chat. She said she's curious. If you make a vow to God but fail to fulfill it, how do you appease God after? Anyone want to take on that?
Sister Grant, you heard something about.
Could I repeat it and let me process it?
Yeah, he said, if you make a vow to God but fail to fulfill it, how do you appease God after that?
That's why the scripture says you're not to speak as a fool. You must know what you are saying before. You're not to speak as a fool.
Repentance and forgiveness.
God is merciful. And if God is merciful, and if you make a promise and you break it, God will forgive you.
Yes.
Yes.
Because we all do that. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to do it. And our Father. So, I mean, we are not perfect. God is merciful.
Yes, we live in the age of grace. So mm-hmm. I'm stupid enough to say things, but as you said, God is merciful.
Yes, amen. You just confess. I didn't do what I should have done. So Lord, please forgive me. Yeah.
Yes, Candy. God is merciful.
Yes, God is merciful. You make that vow. You didn't fulfill it. Repentance.
Yes.
You know, you seek the Lord.
Candy, look at it this way. You're married to somebody, and you say, for better, for worse, till death do us part. But I mean, things happen. Things happen.
You separate. Yes.
That's the God. Amen. That's the God we're dealing with.
Yes. That's the God we serve. Always.
And we know that sin has consequences. So you make a vow, you turn away from the vow. There's consequences, but God is forgiving, is merciful.
Forgiving God.
You're still going to have scars, you know, from that. You know, your circumstances, just like circumstances and situation. Sometimes your circumstances can change, but the situation will change the way you look at your circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, because, for instance, you were caught in the act of sin and then shoot off under your foot. That's your circumstance. That's your situation right now. But the circumstances is to deal with your situation with the grace that God would have given you. You were caught in the act of sin and they shoot off your foot. You're now living with one foot. That doesn't mean that when you come and ask God for forgiveness, that foot won't go back and as it was.
No, believe in it.
That's your situation as it is right now.
Amen.
Yeah, that's your situation as it is right now, but your circumstances, the way you view your situation, can change. You know, so the mark of sin will still have a leave bruises on you because sin leaves scars on you. If you're in sin and you get involved with a strange woman and you comfort a child from it and she put you on child support, that child support can remain as long as the court have it in. You know, it's not like you're going to give your life to God and you're going to just wipe it out and then you have no more child support. You're going to live with that sin mark.
That is why we use the word consequence.
Yes. Amen. And Sister Kenesha made a comment. She said, when we look at the meaning of the word bewail in the vital context, it means mourning over the fact that a woman will remain virgin. And not married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she bewailed her virginity when she went into the mountains with her friends. And that word would mean that she will remain a virgin and not married.
Mm-hmm. Yes, bewailed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. There are some more that comment, but it's very fine. It's very fine on my screen. And Sister Camille, who said that the Bible reminds us that it is better not to vow than to make the vow and not fulfill it.
Yes, the Bible said, differ not to pay.
Yes, when you come into the house of God.
Yes.
Don't make a vow that you cannot keep.
That you cannot fulfill.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. And Sister Patmore, were you the one that said ask for forgiveness?
I did. I said repentance and forgiveness.
Okay, Sister Tracy. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Yes. Any other comment before we close tonight? Any other feedback from the floor? Any other?
God can use anyone. God can use anyone. Regardless of our estate we're coming from, he can use a gangster.
Amen. Yes. Yes. He can use a man of valor.
This study is very interesting.
Yeah, I like it.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Yes.
God can use a gangster.
Yes, God can use anyone according to Sister Grant.
Yeah, and whether you're a bastard or you're lawful or whatever, that doesn't matter.
Yes, it doesn't matter.
Yes, if you look back on the people that God used, you wonder.
Oh my goodness, don't go there.
that's for a different study, Sister Scott. Sister Thelma, that's for a different study. For a different story. If we open that now,
we can't
stop. Because we're going to start from Abraham, a liar.
Everyone had a call.
We're going to start from Abraham, a liar. Who lied that his wife was
everybody
his
can change.
Yeah.
You know, so,
God.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to open up a can of worm there. And I think I'm going to leave Sister Grant to teach that study.
Pray for me.
Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Yes. Any other feedback from the floor?
We could go. I didn't even know it was so late.
Amen.
How late is it?
It was a very good lesson.
Oh, bless the Lord, Sister Williamson. Yes, I told you last week that it's going to be a debatable study. So you must read up and come prepared for it. You know, during the course of this week, I will tell you, as the Lord permits, what we're going to study for Saturday, because I know it's going to be another interesting one, because the book of Judges really have some interesting characters. The Bible on a whole have some interesting characters in it. And when you look at it as characters, you'll realize that these characters, it's for you to use the Spirit of God in you to tell you which one of them to follow. Because you know you can't follow Samson.
And you know, Brother Everton, if you look at it, each one of us is in one of the character there. Each one of us is in the character. Each one.
Yeah, we represent those characters some way, somehow. We represent those characters and stuff. You know, whether we are a little trickster like Jacob. With, you know, whether we are whether we are a denier like Peter. You know, whether we're a betrayer like Judas, you know, so
yes,
look at Rab.
Whether we're adults like Thomas,
look at Ruth, look at Ruth, where's she coming from?
Yeah, we, yes,
amen.
Nation,
Rahab.
Whether we are like Gideon that need to see a sign first.
Sign first, according to Sister Ava. Mm-hmm. You know, so these characters are playing out in us as believers today, and even unbelievers. It's playing out in us. We have some fearers as well.
Find out where you are in one of these characters.
Yeah,
find-
we have some fearers. We have some Jeremiah playing out in some of us. We have some Ezekiel. You know, we have it all playing out.
Don't
mention Ananias and Sapphira.
We have some Ananias and Sapphira too. We have some Ananias and Sapphira in some of us too. You know? We have some Delilah and some Jezebel. Oh God. You know, so the Bible, though it only have 66 chapters, it speaks a lifetime of events. It speaks to your entire life in those 66 chapters that is in this holy Bible.
Dig into it, everything is there. It's for you to find
it. Is in there. You know, the good, the bad, and the indifference. People repress for time.
Yeah.
We are pressed for time and we want to respect the time of others that are here tonight. We don't want to break too much. Part of our mission is to keep this Bible study for 1 hour 15 minutes. It was originally 1 hour, but we step it up by 15 minutes. Just for to sake of closing off in prayer and closing comments. We are way over the time, and we have Sister Grant that will pray to dismiss us this evening. Whatever comment or contribution you'd have want to make this evening, you can always do it by sending a group message to the group, and we will respond as it's on fit. Or you can hold it until next week when you come back, then we can, you know, flesh out some of that. Just stick a pin right there as we would ask Sister Grant to pray for us as we would dismiss.
Gracious God, loving Father, we come to you at this time. Lord, we want to give you thanks for a good day and allowing us, Lord, to come together for this time, when we can look into your word and we can study your word, Lord, and we show ourselves approved. Father God, we thank you for this lovely group of persons on this platform. Lord, we are in different locations, but you are everywhere. And Lord, you know each and every one of us. You know it's our desire, Lord, to seek you and to live for you. Yes, and that's Lord. The reason why we are here tonight, Lord, to learn more from you and how we can improve our relationship with you with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, as we come together and as we study your word, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come to us and will help us, Lord, to look into our own lives and see where we are in our relationship with you.
Thank you.
Yes,
Father God, we thank you for those who are searching. We pray, Lord, that as they search, they'll find you and find that Jesus is the way, is the truth, and is the life. And no one will ever see his face until we accept him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Father God, we pray that the Holy Spirit will breathe on your children even now.
Hallelujah.
We pray, Lord, that you will speak
in your own way and in your own time. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor. Lord, we thank you for the lesson we have studied this evening. Lord, there are things for us to take away. Lord, you can use anyone.
Yes,
all
Lord.
Of us here are usable, Lord. It doesn't matter where we were, where we're coming from. God, you can use even the person who thinks he's an outcast, the person who thinks that he cannot find peace with you. Lord, you give us peace and assurance.
Hallelujah.
That your mercies is for one and all. So God, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your mercies. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we have fallen short. Because Lord, we fall short many times. Jesus. So we ask you, God, to lift us up and help us, Lord, to plant our feet. We ask you to plant our feet on solid ground. Because
Hallelujah.
All other people is sinking sand.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, we thank you for the inspiration that you have given to Everton and others to conduct this Bible study at this time. Because Lord, we will be probably watching television or doing something else that is not profitable to us and to our spiritual life.
Thank you, Lord.
So God, we thank you for all those who have put thoughts together. You have used them, Lord, by your spirit.
Yes,
to
Lord.
Start this group. We pray that you will continue to bless this group. And we pray, Lord, that
Hallelujah.
As we continue to study your word, we will take time to get into your word, Lord, to be in prayer, and to find a community where we can worship and give you the honor and the glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, Hallelujah.
We ask you to be with this group again, God. Be with every family that is represented here.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, Hallelujah. We pray that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. We give you glory, we give you honor, as we say thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord, Sister Grant. Yes, we welcome you all again. We thank you for coming. We thank you for sharing this time with us as we look into the Word of God. May the peace of God the Father, may the peace of God the Son, may the peace of God the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us all now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, greet someone as you go. If there's anyone here for the first time, I want to take this opportunity to welcome you.
In Jesus' name, let us tell them we love them.
Yes. So. Amen.
God loves you. Everybody smile. Jesus loves you. Everybody smile.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Amen. Good night.